Amen, amen. Last week, for those songs, for those that are not familiar, we change songs every month. Tomorrow's a new month, or next week's a new month. Yep, tomorrow. No, we have to get through my sister's birthday first. Stop it. Alrighty. Today is March 25th, 2012. The message today is an interesting one. It's designed to help give you strength and to help you serve the Lord. Ooh, think of that. The message today is titled Unexpected Opportunities. Let me ask you, have you ever been caught off guard with a request or an opportunity, something that you didn't expect? Hello. Question I got this morning. Maybe someone sought counsel from you or your advice that you didn't expect, that you didn't anticipate, when you didn't expect it, and that kind of caught you off guard. Or maybe someone asked you what you would do in a situation, asking for your input. And there could even be those times when you're asked to lead a group of your peers or a group in a room. Or a sanctuary. Some type of meeting. You walk into a meeting expecting to sit down and just relax and listen, and all of a sudden, before you know it, hey, by the way, why don't you moderate for me? Happens quite often. And a lot of times we're caught off guard. We're not prepared. It's something that we didn't expect. A lot of times people will bring their situations and their problems to you just in a one-on-one situation and basically drop something. Here, I have this problem. It's yours. And give it to you. And then you just stand there like, okay, now what? How do I help this person? There are many ways and opportunities that can present itself within our day. Many ways for us to serve the Lord. Many ways for us to serve the word and speak the truth to others and to glorify God and to use those opportunities to share the good word, especially how God works in your own life or how you have seen God work in certain situations. Even if you're unfamiliar with the Lord, with scripture, maybe you're not able to quote it, you know, 100% perfectly, or maybe you even think that, you know, okay, this opportunity is presented, and Lord, I have no idea what to say or what to do. All of these situations can be used to glorify God. A lot of times these opportunities may catch us on a day that we're just tired and weary from a long day. We don't want to deal with it. You know, our kids come home and are like, Mom, I need this. Mom, Dad, I need this. Mom, I need this. Oh, and by the way, I need this. And you're just tired. You're wore out. You just want to sit down, enjoy a cup of sweet tea or whatever is your beverage of choice, and just kick your feet up. You may just not be in the mood to lead, but rather that you're hoping that somebody else would take charge. I know for us mothers, especially when it comes to dinner, that's like a given. Somebody else cooked dinner. How about this? Okay? And then there are those days where we just don't feel worthy enough to serve God. You're given a problem, a situation, an opportunity, and you just, I'm not in touch with the Holy Spirit today, Lord. I can't do this. We know that these days are possible, but do we pass them up? Do we give a polite, I'll pass, or maybe not this time? Or do we draw on the strength of the Lord and use this opportunity to serve him? One of the greatest examples that we receive through Scripture of an unexpected opportunity comes in Acts chapter 13. Verses 14 through 16, the word says, "But they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue said unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. And Paul stood up, and beckoning with his hand, said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. Paul and Barnabas had been traveling. They arrived at Pisidian Antioch. They were weary. They were tired. They had come through a mountain range, through a long journey. They went to the synagogue to pay their homage, their tribute to the Lord, sing praises for safe travels. In arriving there, they got there early, and they felt lucky enough just to find a good seat so that they could listen and receive the word of God. But when they arrived, Paul received this very unexpected opportunity. Would you like to preach? Hey, give me a minute. But that was his cue. And without hesitation, he delivered. You know, in my own personal life, being the calling that the Lord has placed on my heart, it doesn't take me long in a situation to bring the Lord into it. I've had many opportunities come up, especially in the last 2 months. And to be able to lead and guide and share the word of God with other people, you really have to know your audience. That's the biggest thing. But with it, be it family, be it friends, no matter who it is, you have to know what they're going to receive. You have to know what you can say and what you can't say. You have to know how far you can go. And the only way of knowing that is by relying on the Holy Spirit. Having enough knowledge, and a lot of times it doesn't even have to be knowledge of Scripture. Just knowledge and complete confidence in knowing how God has worked in your life. Our greatest source of work that we can do for the Lord is sharing our testimony. Telling others how God has done a mighty work in your life. And strengthening them and guiding them so that they may know that if God did it in your life, he will do it in theirs as well. Our testimony and the things that we share are the best way to serve God. Like I said, you don't have to quote Scripture. If you do, you can be like me. I quote it. I can quote it in a heartbeat. Can I quote book, chapter, and verse? Not always. Not always. Allow the Lord to use you. Open your heart and pray for the Holy Spirit to give you the words that you may say something to whoever or is in your presence, be it a room of people, be it a one-on-one situation, be it a telephone conversation. Pray for God to give you the words so that you can do his work. Because if he has called you to do his work, the words will come by his hand. And he will receive the glory and the praise. I can imagine that Paul didn't hesitate. Such a man of God and so in touch with the Holy Spirit that even though he had that long journey up over the mountains, reaching a place that he just sought rest, hoping to be fed the word, not to serve the word, he just wanted to sit down and relax. But this opportunity was presented, and he didn't turn it down. We need to make sure that we can stand as strong and serve God where we are called to serve him. Because, make no mistake, we are all called to serve the Lord. Everybody. In some way, shape, or form. There may be only one person's life that you are called to have an impact on. The Lord will bring those opportunities. It's up to you to open your heart and see them. But in the verses in Acts that follow those that I read, verses 17 through 41, Paul began to preach. And he started in Genesis, and he preached all the way through the ministry, through to the ministry of Christ, completely from memory. He had no notes. He just stood up and gave it. Well, was it him or was it the Holy Spirit? I like to believe it was the Holy Spirit. he probably had a lot of knowledge, as do I. But in those times where the train leaves the station, you have to wait for it to circle back. That's when you rely on the Holy Spirit. He glorified God. He didn't pass up the opportunity. He took care of it, snatched it up. And we need to do the same. Just like Paul. We are all called to communicate biblical truth to others. When those opportunities arise, we must remember that we are to be a communicator of God's word. And through that, it's important to remember four basic things that I'm going to give you. Stay on subject. Number one is always stay on subject. What's your subject? Christ. Right? Preaching that doesn't exalt Christ is empty preaching. Preaching that doesn't exalt Christ is empty. There are different ways to preach the Lord. Your testimony being the greatest one. You know, many people know Christ. They know the story. They've either watched the Ten Commandments, you know, been to church on Easter and Christmas. They know why we celebrate it. They at least have a basic understanding of who Christ was, that he was born and that he died. You don't have to necessarily stand before someone and say, this is, you know, you need to come to the Lord, you need to do this, you need to do. Well, first of all, you're not going to want to point fingers at all. I have always found in my life, in situations, it's better rather than to say you, I. Point the finger at yourself. This is what I do. This is what I would do. This is how God has worked in my life. By giving credit where credit is due, by realizing that we're not in control of our lives, that it's God that is, and by always voicing that and remaining humble, that in itself always will lead you to stay on subject and give the honor and the glory to the Lord. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2:2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." That was the most important thing for Paul to know. I don't need to know anything else, but that Christ came, I know who he is, and that he died for my sins. For Paul, to live was Christ, and to die was gain. Number two is always speak the truth without fear. You all have heard me say many times, it takes a heart to give and a heart to receive. If you rely on the Lord to give you the words, the heart that you're speaking to is either going to receive it or not receive it. And for that, you can't control. All we can do is be responsible for ourselves and our own actions. But choose your words carefully. Don't be offensive. A lot of people do not like to be preached to. You can't shove people onto God, or you can't shove God onto people. You can't force them to come to the cross. We all have free will. And as we learned in the Sunday school lesson today, our nation is very stubborn and prideful. We use that card. We use that free will card to say, I can do what I want to do. This is a free country. It has to be a choice made by the person, by the specific person. You can't force them to come. So don't be overly impressed. Don't be forceful. Be gentle and kind, as Christ calls us to be. Also, too, don't be overly impressed with those who are in your class, or in the class, those that have come to the meeting, those who sit in church. Don't sit there and say, that person's closer to God than I am. I could never get up there and do that. This person is closer to God. I have nothing to say. I have nothing of value to add. God uses us all differently. He may tell you one thing that I need to hear just because I'm the pastor and I'm on the microphone. and I'm at the pulpit doesn't mean you don't have anything of value to add. It makes no difference how much someone is worth or how much they contribute. Always speak the truth without fear. Number three is always start where your audience is. Know your audience. Know what you can say, when you can say it, how much you can say. In the example that I gave you about Paul, he hooked those men on his very first sentence. The very first thing that he said to them, "Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience." He got their attention. And you can too. You have to spend some time thinking about it. You have to know your audience. A little bit of time, because a lot of times you're just giving it in the blink of an eye, and you don't really have a whole lot of time to think or figure out what you're going to say. But you have to know your audience well enough to build a bridge quickly. Find a way to get in their world, then build that bridge from their world to Christ or from yours. Allow it to be centered on Christ to show them the way to him. A lot of it, in order to do that, you have to know where your blessings come from. You have to know what God has done in your life, and you have to remain humble. Begin with something that's familiar in order to acquaint them with the unfamiliar. Oh, let me say that again. Acquaint them with the familiar. Begin with the familiar in order to acquaint them with the unfamiliar. I know what you're going through. I know what you're going through. I've seen it. I've had it in my own life. This is how I overcame it. And it can happen for you too. Number four is always surrender the results to God. Always. How many times in your life have you had an opportunity to serve the Lord, give a message, talk to somebody about God, plant a seed, and try to make it grow yourself? Come to church. Hey, how about coming to church? Here's our service times. Here's where we are. I'll see you there. And then they don't show up. And you get disappointed. And that happens over and over and over again. And pretty soon you're not planting those seeds any longer, because they've not produced fruit. And we get disappointed. We get wrapped up in ourselves. We get wrapped up in our own power rather than allowing God to work. Amen? Be careful not to dump a whole truckload. No, wait. I'm out of order. Once they've heard the message on your part, your task is just to communicate the truth. Extend the invitation, communicate some little truth, leave the rest to God. It's up to God's it's God's job to draw the people in. We've prayed many times for this ministry that it would grow according to God's will and time, and it has, and it is slowly. And that's okay. Because I would rather have one every 3 months that stays than 10 every week that come and go. You have to be grounded and rooted in order to stay. You have to allow God to change your heart. You have to allow him in and start to cleanse you. And that's where change remains permanent, by God's hand. You prepare the patient. God does the surgery. They don't need to be manipulated. There's already enough in this world of that going on. You don't need to follow them out to their car. You don't need to push them into a corner. God will reach them. God will touch them. You just have to leave the results to God. Understand and realize that nothing is done that's out of God's will. And if it's there, if it's God's will for you to speak to that person and for your invitation to be accepted, God will see to it. You know, a lot of times we take our will, the will, into our own hands, and that's okay. It's the way God made us, and he forgives us for it. But you can't, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Right? When you have an unexpected opportunity to share the good news, share it. Don't be afraid. Be careful to not dump the whole truckload. Don't start at Genesis and go all the way to the crucifixion. You're going to lose them. You lost me at the Ten Commandments. Right? Don't reach through the Old Testament before getting to the heart of the gospel. Keep in mind the Old Testament is there for a reason. But Christ is the one that saves. Christ is the one that came and paid the penalty for our sins. And it's only through the Him that we reach the Father. Amen? As you lift up Christ, tell them of your own spiritual journey. If done courteously and interestingly, the person or people will hang on your every word if they're not distracted by two-year-olds. Just as they did with Paul. If you're being interesting and you're sharing, people are going to listen. I've witnessed many, many times in situations other than this one where people give me audience. They actually listen to the things that I say. And I have to be careful how to choose my words in those situations because they're not always spiritual ones. But just as they did with Paul, they will listen to you. And this response that you receive will be overwhelmingly positive. Remember, it's the seed. You plant the seed. And God will allow it to grow. As Jesus promised in John 12:32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Christ will draw them in. He will lead them. When your heart is right, it's amazing what you are able to see when you see it clearly. It's remarkable how God can give you the words, give you the words to say. How many times have you spoken and you're like, witness that just this week on Tuesday night with him. I don't know who that man was the comment. When God uses you and gives you the words, if you surrender and allow him to guide you, you'll be like that too. You stand there and afterwards you're just like, where'd that come from? Wasn't me. That was all God. You will see how God can use you, just as he did Paul. When his moment arrived, he was ready. And for us, that's all we need. We need to be able to say to God, I know that I am called to serve you, Lord. Bring the opportunity and give me the words to do so. And he will. The word tells us in 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make ye perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Our God of all grace will give you peace. And you will see those opportunities come. And you will be able to glorify him. If you follow those basic principles that I gave you, make sure that you rely on the Lord, not on yourself. And you trust in God to do the work. When your moment comes, stand and deliver. God will give you courage as you tell others of his son. And I can rest assured and tell you that there is no greater honor on earth than to serve the Lord. I have a secular job and I have a passion. Both jobs are full-time. My passion is serving God. And there is no greater honor to know that he has used me as just a simple servant to serve him and hope and pray that I do a good job for God. Don't pass up those unexpected opportunities, even if you think you have nothing to add, even if you think you don't know enough, even if you think you're not going to do a good job for God. If you're relying on the Lord, you will. It's what we're called to do, especially as adults. There are a lot of children and people within our lives that we are called to affect. And we're all called to serve Him. So seek Him in all these things, in all these opportunities, and He will not let you down. Amen? That's the word for today. Does anybody have anything to add or any comments? Aaron? My passion job has better benefits. Well, they certainly are eternal. Amen. Well, if all hearts and minds are clear, we can stand for dismissal.